Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Kind of cool that the Ideal Welding Solutions has a little niche in making smokers. Any of you guys out there listening that wants something, you know, unique and cool, be the guy to call.
Yeah.
Sound like 4 weeks, you can turn one around.
Let's say you have an old smoker that's got the bottom rusted out.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know,
sounds like you fixed one of those. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because he mentioned getting a pit and burning your hardwood sticks and building your coal like they do in pit style in the South. And
right.
I mean, that's just a very common way to barbecue. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I guess what I always wanted to know is, how do you determine what charcoal to use? And I know I talk about this quite a bit, but I'm still amazed at how many people just don't know anything about charcoal.
Right. Yep. You sold it for quite a while, so you have a great knowledge of it. Let's share a little bit of it.
Well, I guess I, for the longest time when I was a younger dad, was buying briquettes.
Sure.
Like everybody. And I never knew the difference. And then I went out to Kansas City and got trained and started repping for Ace of Hearts. And, of course, they had a good charcoal. And I really learned a lot about the science. And I guess I used it for so long, I kind of forgot that I ever used briquettes until I got to an event somewhere and somebody brought a bunch of the big brand briquettes. And they threw them in the smoker, or they gave them to me, and we had to use them. And I remember lifting up the burn box, and the smell that came out of it was so offensive after burning pure lump.
Right.
To smell a briquette, which has all kinds of additives in it. And those things go on your food.
The additives. Well, they're going by your food the whole time you're cooking.
Spray those molds. Briquettes are basically made out of the silt that comes out of a lump charcoal kiln. And when they actually bring front-end loaders in and bring all this charcoal, and they load it into giant hoppers and bag it, right? Crush it and bag it. And you end up with a lot of black powder. And it's not the kind that explodes. It's just
right.
Dirty black powder. So somebody got the great idea to form that into a briquette. And since it turned into a giant industry, they produce so much volume. I mean, if you just go into one big box store, take Menards, for example, you'll see pallets and pallets of briquettes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's dozens of stores in every metro area.
Sure.
And there's hundreds of those metro areas in the country. I mean, they're producing a ton.
Right.
So that kind of volume requires speed. So what they've done is they've come up with mixers and things that take that black silt and it mixes it with clay. And I don't know what else. I'm sure it's proprietary. But they have these molds. And then they fill these molds with that sloth.
Slurry.
Yeah.
Right.
And they bake it. And that's how you get a briquette. Well, it wants to stick to the forms. So what they do is they spray those molds with borax.
Okay.
That's how it releases. Well, that's that caustic smell I picked up. It's offensive.
Right.
Borax is very... I'm surprised the FDA, in all their wisdom, allows for that to go in.
Well, it burns off, but it burns by your food as well. Now, is it going to kill you? No, or they wouldn't be out there, and the whole industry does it. But does it impact your food?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know, because, you know, what we used to teach people is that if you're burning applewood, make sure it was never in an orchard, because dozens of years of spraying with pesticides, that's in that tree.
Right.
And you don't want that fume going into your food. You're putting all those pesticides into your food. So these guys that go, oh, I got a bunch of apple, they just cut down an orchard. Don't do it.
Right.
You know, you can heat your house with it, and it's mediocre for heat.
Right. Yeah, it's not hard enough.
And
yeah.
I personally don't think the flavor of applewood's anything special. I don't know how it ever got to be so popular.
Right.
Other than all these orchards getting renewed.
Yeah, you every once in a while, every year or so, you knock down a hickory tree out of your woods. And that's what I like, because when you get the branches that are maybe as big around as a softball, you just go down one of those and cut discs off about 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
And
looks like a hockey puck.
Yeah, exactly. And you throw those in I got a big plastic box. You did that 3 or 4 years ago. ago, and I took a whole big tote of those, and I'm still using them.
Yeah.
Used one yesterday, but it only takes one.
But even
right?
These people with, you look at, what's the big brand that's out there? Masterbuilt.
Yeah.
And there's another one that makes it for all kinds of other people. Basically the same thing. It looks like a mini gun safe or something.
Yeah.
They have a little tray in the bottom, and they're either using propane or an electric element.
Right.
And they're heating up wood. You can throw one of those pucks in that tray. You don't have to use wood chips.
Right.
You can just take wood from your backyard. I mean, I've told the story a bunch of times about cooking on the beach in Florida. I used driftwood.
Right.
It was great.
Yeah. A little salty, but other than that, it was good, right?
I used a little less salt on the ribs. But it's funny. There, you know, in Jamaica, I know a Jamaican man, a few of them. Anyway, they love pimento.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a type of plant. It's not the little thing that goes in your olive.
Right.
It's different than what we call a pimento, but they love pimento wood. And that's just, if you're in Jamaica, or I would say some of the Caribbean islands, that's what you're going to have because there's so much of it. It grows like brush.
Yeah. So I back to where we are here. You remember last week or the week before, I had one of my guys I work with on my day job came in and said, man, I made a big mistake. I bought this stuff called lump rather than charcoal briquette. And I'm like, no, that was divine intervention for you, brother, is all that was. But so
you're so right.
Yeah, explain that, though, that now what lump is, because he didn't know. He'd been grilling. You know, the guy's
using
40
briquettes.
Years old. He'd been grilling his whole life, and he just grabbed the wrong bag and thought he had no idea what to do with it when he opened it up.
And I guess that's a great point, because as you look in these stores, there are so many now, thankfully, brands and stuff, and they're all rated a little differently, but you got to rate it yourself. You can go to a site called The Naked Whiz,
right,
and make sure that you put WHIZ on there,
right?
Because if you do the other one, it's a porn site,
right?
But it's a site called The Naked Whiz, and I don't think they've rated in a few years, but and they would let people do reviews, and you can find all sorts of ratings on charcoal. But I tell you to do it yourself.
Right.
Buy a small bag of Frontier. Now, I think it's kind of junk. Buy a small bag of Cowboy. I think it's kind of junk. But you might love it. And if you're not used to a good lump charcoal and you get stuck with a bag of one of those other up-and-comers, you'll think it's great. But one thing you'll have to notice is that lump charcoal has about a 1,250 burn temp.
Right.
Briquettes have about 800. So if you're using lump, you've got to use less of it, or you're going to burn your meats, especially if you don't have a deep basket to burn from.
Right.
So that's the first thing you'll notice. And what did your buddy say?
Well, he was afraid to use it. And he's like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with it. And he tried to put it in his chimney and get it started, and it got really hot, right? I don't know if it melted his chimney, but he was like, man, I don't really know what I'm doing.
When he says chimney, it's a Weber device. Weber came out with it. It looks like a flour sifter, and you put your charcoal on the top. And the thought was to put wadded-up newspaper in the bottom, and it starts your first batch of coals. And it works very effectively.
Yep. Yep.
So has he followed up with you? Has he tried it?
Yeah, he did. And after I told him, I said, you're going to need less of it, and you're probably not going to cook over top of it direct. You want it a little bit offset, because that extra 300-400 degrees you're going to get off there, you're not going to be used to cooking on it until you try it a couple times. But I said, you know, he's a young dad. His wife's at home with a couple. They got twins. And so, you know, I'm like, the good part about this is you can snuff it out when you're done, shut the air off, and then you can relight it.
Is he using a Kamado cooker?
Yeah. So, well, he's using a Weber, but he's got,
I remember a friend of mine, after I sold him a big green egg, he filled the thing full of charcoal and lit it.
It exploded in his face.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
That's called the learning curve.
Right, yeah. I might have learned that.
We've all done stuff
right,
like that.
Exactly. But anyway.
And that's the fun of it. And right. If you're always honest enough to admit it.
Yeah,
so.
Why not? All right. The Naked Whiz, NakedWhiz, is still out there. They continue to rate. Says it's their 75th rating event that they're doing right now. So check it out if you want to learn about lump charcoal. You're listening to Grilling Guys. We'll be back.